Talk about the impact on local businesses. We just had the Travelers this past weekend, and from what I was there on Thursday and Friday, Thursday for fun, Friday for work, and there was a lot of consumerism going on in Cromwell. Let's bring in Nathan Groove, tournament director of the Travelers, just to put a sort of ribbon on it. We focus a lot of attention on the tournament, and for good reason. First of all, how are you feeling? Why aren't you in, like, you know, the south of France by now? What's going on?
Listen, I don't know if you noticed, there's a little bit of a mess left behind after the party, you know, like weddings, you know, when you get invited, there's a whole reception afterwards. So, yeah, no, we're picking up the course, and we'll get some time off later this summer. But it was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good – I mean, the weather couldn't have been better. I mean, it was a little hot maybe for some, but you can't – I mean, do you not give attendance figures? Is that what I understand?
We stopped, Brent, honestly, probably about – oh gosh, 10 years ago, we don't have seats, we don't have turnstiles. So it's one of those things, our crowds, they come out in the morning, they'll watch the morning groups, they'll leave, they'll come out in the afternoon. So if we couldn't tell you exactly that there were 217,948 people, we stopped doing attendance numbers. We measure by charity, we measure by, hey, how'd the concessions do, how'd the merch do, you know, stuff we can actually measure. And when you add all that up, we got to 2.5 million. It was an increase of about 300,000 from last year, so for our charity. So that's how we measure our numbers and success this year.
Oh, great! And so that's back to pre-pandemic in terms of you, what does your instinct tell you in terms of foot traffic?
Oh man, I will say it's definitely back to like 19 levels. I mean, we had reached this point in 19 where 17 was a big jump with Rory and Jordan.
Right.
18, we kept that pace, and then 19 was really good, and people were excited about the future, and then obviously 20 and 21, but I would say we're definitely back to 19 levels, but we passed our charity by, I was just looking at it this morning, we passed our charity by like 300,000 from last year, so that's a huge number for us. That's about 130 charities that are going to benefit, to your point, from an economic impact standpoint and who they serve, so it's a big number, and we're proud of that.
Yeah, as you should be. Nathan Groove, tournament director with the Travelers, joining us here on Brian and Company. You know, McIlroy, so you know, he basically said he one of the reasons, one, that he loves the tournament is it's a really nice bounce back from the U.S. Open. We know the USGA makes the U.S. Open as hard as humanly possible, and he's basically saying this course can get, you know, it's a place you can birdie, you can go low. I mean, obviously he learned during the course of the weekend that it's not as easy as you always might think, but that kind of commentary, it's complimentary, but that doesn't bother you, right? That kind of commentary on the course?
You know what? What I thought was best, actually, so, yeah, it was great, right? McIlroy fires a 62, and I think everybody's like, oh, my gosh, you know, they're going to shoot 30 under this week. And when you look at how the course shapes up, how it's set up, it obviously, you know, people start coming back. And, you know, when you see some of the best players in the world shoot 75, 76 on Sunday, I mean, the course can bite. I thought Xander's interview after he won, he was on the Golf Channel, he was talking about it. He's like, you know what? This course can make you look stupid pretty quick. And it was one of those things where if you fall asleep, if you don't pay attention, it can absolutely bite you. And when you have one of the best players in the world have that kind of respect for the golf course, it's a good place to be. To your point, they can make birdies. The guys say it. They get rewarded for good shots. They get punished for bad shots. And that's what they want. They want a fair golf course.
You know, it's funny because this, and I want to say the name right, Michael Thorpe Jornsen. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, great kid. Yeah, that's how you say it.
It's, you know, so, I mean, we paid a little bit more attention. People who follow golf, you know, started hearing the name more. Well, actually, if you follow golf, you probably knew him before it. But, you know, there was a lot written about him the week at the U.S. Open because he's from Massachusetts and he played in the Open, right? And so he comes to Connecticut and almost wins the thing. And he's going back to college.
So it was one of the greatest calls. So we obviously spend a lot of time on our exemptions, right? We basically get four exemptions as a tournament to kind of identify future talent and say, hey, we want to invite them to the Travelers Championship. We had a great, great group of kids this year. Ben James, obviously Connecticut kid, Michael from Mass, Chris Goddard from New Jersey, and then Cole Hammer from Texas. And it's kind of like that next wave of players. But Michael was just, he was excited from the beginning. I called him, he was at Stanford, he was actually writing a paper. It was probably a month ago, and he was trying to finish up, and I called him, and I told him he hands down had the most excited, just, I'm so excited to play, thank you so much. I mean, he was ecstatic, and then he comes out here, and he just played with that carefree attitude of, Man, I'm excited to be on the PGA Tour. It didn't, you know, look like he was feeling the pressure of, oh my gosh, I got to make it work this one week. And then he just played outstanding. And every time you saw him, he had the biggest smile on his face. He was so appreciative. And yeah, I think a lot of people in New England and the world got to know him this week that you almost had, you know, history made at the tournament with an amateur. I don't think an amateur's won since 91, I think.
Right, and I think he did the best at this tournament since, like, in the 60s, I think, as an amateur. And, you know, people should read the story about it. I think Don Mamori, I think he wrote about it in The Current, but it's out there. His best friend was on the bag, and it's just a really, really good story. But he could have made a couple hundred thousand dollars. Is it hard for a kid like that? I mean, he's going to Stanford. He's obviously a really bright and talented kid, but he obviously could play on the tour, right?
He easily could. And what I think is different now is with these NIL deals, you can actually have amateurs make, you know, some money doing stuff outside of, you know, their golf. But yeah, I mean, when he looked at what he could have made, I didn't see the line yet. I mean, it was, you know, $200,000-$300,000 for finishing fourth. But I think there's less pressure to come out earlier because they actually can make money now as college athletes and still keep their amateur status. So, I mean, I'm sure that got his attention a little bit, but he, you know, it was just cool having the crowds embrace him, and they were chanting his name on 18, and he was looking around, and I saw him at the top when he came out, and he was just like, this is one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And, you know, and I think you build that kind of loyalty with these young players. And when you look, it's funny, Brian, when you look at the top 10 Sunday that teed off, five of the top 10 had been former exemptions, just like Michael with our tournament, from Webb Simpson to Nick Hardy to, you know, Patrick Cantlay, like all those guys that were top 10. I mean, you start to build that loyalty with the next generation, and that's what we did with Michael this year.
Yeah, I 100% think that is just huge, and he'll, you know, no matter what, he'll always have that loyalty. Real quick before we say goodbye, you know, obviously, well, first of all, when do you take a week or two and then you get started? I mean, when does the actual process for next year begin?
It's, well, we have 362 days till the tournament for next year, so that clock has already begun. But I would say it's about a 15-month cycle. I mean, there was stuff we started about 2 months ago that you can't incorporate into this year's tournament that we were working on for next year. So it's about a, you know, 14-15-month cycle, so we're already working on next year. But we'll get some time off. The team, I mean, they work incredibly hard. The volunteers work incredibly hard. And we'll be taking some time with them. Sure, you'll see us at the beach at some time this summer.
And the date's secure for in perpetuity, or is there ever any jockeying to change it?
No, we're the week after the Open through 2030. So you can circle your calendars. So we are June 19th through the 25th next year. And then we follow the U.S. Open. So it's pretty much that third week in June. It, you know, it fluctuates a couple of days here and there, you know, from the 18th to the 20th, 22nd, but it's that third week in June when Travelers signed on through 2030. That's the date we love, and that's where we are.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I hadn't been in a long time. You know, I left Connecticut from 07 to 19, and I thought it was awesome, and I had a great time, and we appreciate you having us down on Friday. Hopefully we'll continue to do that moving forward. So just congrats on for your team all around.
Awesome. Brian, thanks for the time. Thanks for coming out, and appreciate the support.
All right, Nathan Grube, tournament director with the Travelers, putting a little bow on that.